Conan O'Brien needs a fan. Want to talk to Conan? Visit teamcoco.com/callconan. Okay, let's get started.
Hey!
Hey there, Jonathan!
I see my friends!
Meet Conan, Sona!
Hi, how are you?
Jonathan, how you doing?
I'm doing very well. I can be better right now.
Well, that's not true. You could be better. We could all be better. We could all improve every day in every way. Jonathan, tell me about you. Where are you calling in from?
I'm in Angleton, Texas right now.
You're in Texas. Okay.
Yeah.
Is that where you were born? Where were you born?
I was born in Puerto Rico, San Juan, Puerto Rico.
Oh, San Juan. Beautiful.
Yes.
Love it there.
Yeah.
It's gorgeous. And you're talking to us, and I'm just curious what your profession is. What do you do for a living?
I'm a small animal veterinarian.
Aww.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, wait a minute. I thought there was just you were a veterinarian or not a veterinarian. I didn't realize that there were veterinarians that only specialized in small animals. I mean, do you work on, like, does someone ever bring in an insect and say...
that's a tiny animal veterinarian.
Okay. Okay. That's different. Are there... But so someone's... Is someone coming in to you and saying this fetal gerbil has a cold? Anything like that? Is that how small you go, or what are you mostly dealing with in your job as a small animal veterinarian?
So dogs and cats, but like 99% puppies.
Oh, that's adorable.
Puppies all the time.
Puppies,
just so, like that. That's how I feel all day.
Wait, so your job is literally people bringing you puppies left and right. That must be...
Yeah.
Is it joyous, or is it not what we think it is? Do you know what I mean? There's an old saying that even the ice cream taster at Ben and Jerry's some days is like,
no.
I gotta go to friggin' work today and taste some ice cream. That no matter what you do for a living, it can get to you. Is this something that happens to you?
It happens once in a while. There's always, you know, the parts that are not great, but most of the time you can't be angry or mad, man. There's just puppies all around you.
But still, occasionally isn't there occasionally that puppy that's just a prick, you know?
Yeah, man.
I hear it in the background right now.
They don't make eye contact. They don't, they're kind of like, I don't like this guy.
Yeah.
Are you guys hiring by any chance? Can I just come
all the
and
time? Yeah, man.
Conan,
you can be
I
the
quit.
Official hugger.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sorry, Conan.
No, hey, Jonathan, trust me. I'm sorry for you. She's all yours, and welcome to some stunning unprofessionalism. Okay, you work on puppies. Now, I would think the advantage of working on puppies is A, they're super cute, right? B, what's wrong with a puppy? A puppy's in its, it's firing on all cylinders. You're not looking at old dogs who have a million problems. You're looking at puppies. That's got to be the best.
That's a good point. Medically, there's no problems, but they're the ones pooping in the house and peeing and biting everything. And so there's always something to fix.
Well, first of all, you just described things that I do regularly in the house.
I'm good for you.
Biter. I'm pooping everywhere.
To be a puppy.
I'm pooping everywhere, and I'm biting. Yeah. But no. But what you're describing, Jonathan, those aren't things that a vet deals with. Those are more issues that a trainer would deal with. But who takes their puppy to the vet and says he's not house trained?
That's all they ask. That's the first thing they ask. He's peeing all over. What do I do? It's like, well, he's not sick. You just need to train him.
Yeah, train him.
So, you know, basically, there's always something to solve. But, yeah, medically, there's no real big issues.
Do you ever do this? Do they ever come in and say, the puppy's peeing everywhere, I don't know what to do, and you say, train him. That'll be $350.
Yeah, $600 is more like it.
Oh, no! Nice.
Yeah, man.
$600. Now I've trained you not to ask dumb questions.
Jonathan,
Jonathan, I want to come work for you too.
Sure.
This sounds amazing. Yeah.
Yeah,
take them outside once in a while. That'll be $600. Now get the fuck out of here.
Yeah, here's your bill, man. And it's cash. Only cash. No, nothing else.
Only cash. It's so shady.
Yeah, man.
Oh. You know what I'd love to do?
Why is that?
You know what I always wish I had done, you know, all these years of working in what I thought was pretty big time show business, hosting a major talk show. I wish I had always said, yeah, cash. I work in cash. So like someone from the network always had to like bring me cash in a brown paper bag before the show that day. And then I counted it out and went, all right, I'll talk to Patti LuPone.
Why are you only taking cash, though? Are you some kind of black market vet? Or do you heal mafia dogs, like when they've done crimes right. and things like that?
Yeah, you know what you do? He heals. Are these puppies in the puppy relocation program? And they want to keep things on the down low?
I may have done that. I'm not sure.
Oh. Hey, I do have a question that I really have. This is a serious question, which is, you're a vet, right? But let's say you were with me, Jonathan, and we were, I don't know, taking a nice walk together, maybe in the hills outside in Texas where you live, and we were walking and taking a hike.
I would definitely take a hike anywhere, even if there's no hills.
Okay.
I don't care.
Okay, forget I said hills. You and I are taking a nice brisk hike together, Jonathan, and I'm going somewhere with this. And then I have a medical issue. I grab my chest, I fall down, and I'm like, help me, Jonathan, help me. As a small animal vet, is there much you can do for me? Is there stuff that carries over, meaning if you know CPR for a puppy, does it still work for me?
Yeah, believe it or not, it's very similar. You know, you're a little bigger than a puppy, so I might need to like use more force or, you know, be a little more aggressive. But
the basic anatomy between me and a puppy is kind of similar.
What?
Well,
I've been told that.
Brain, certainly.
Basic, all right, basic, watch it.
Like, depending how basic. You have to be very, very basic. But yeah, there's a lot of similarity. A lot of the medication is the same. I could probably bring you back.
Yeah, I'm actually on, I go to a vet. I'm on puppy antidepressants. I find them to be much more effective. Yeah. And
I've had people like show me their own rashes and their own like, hey man, since I'm here anyway, you're so good with my dog. Can I show you this?
Yeah, that's what I would think.
Like, what? What are you doing?
But,
like, no.
But Jonathan, if you had to, you could operate on me, right?
Oh.
And you'd get in there and you'd
no.
Really? Come on. You could
like neuter you? I don't know what kind of operation.
Trust me.
Guys, my wife did that a long time ago.
Oh.
Bada bang, kabadoo, a labba dabba dabba, a labba dabba dabba, da 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 da. Yeah, I got neutered. It was the day I got married. Listen,
yeah,
ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's a cheap joke, but I loved every second of it. No, they were reattached later, but she did the wrong. She didn't get the placement right. Anyway,
what?
The left's on the right, and the right's on the left. Anyway, listen, Jonathan. I love how I just say listen because you were listening to me. So why did I say listen? Because you were right there. You were
just
right
to
there
make sure. You're making sure. I'm not thinking about your testicles being on the wrong side.
Yeah.
You are now.
You're listening.
Still listening.
You're still thinking about it. You're still thinking about how my right's on my left and my left's on my right. It's not. Like, it kind of still looks the same. They just face the wrong way.
Doesn't something veer to the left anyway? Like, does it
veer? Oh,
You've talked about that before.
Yeah, guess what?
Something veering to the left, so
veers wildly to the left. Really, just takes it wildly to the left. I mean, if you took a turn that sharp in a car, you would fail your driver's test. Anyway. I've got to get to, do you have animals yourself?
Yeah, I have a lot of animals. I have 11 animals total.
Holy Mac, were they all former patients?
No, actually, I tried to avoid them being my patient.
But it
happens sometimes. I have two horses. I have a mini horse. I have two goats.
Wait, technical question. Is a mini horse a pony?
No, actually, I learned that recently. I wasn't a big, large animal person, and a pony is
Is a mini horse technically small enough that you could treat it as a small animal vet?
Oh, no, not technically.
Okay.
Still a horse.
Okay.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
But
okay.
Good question.
So it's not like you could confuse a mini horse with a puppy. That would never happen.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
What about a large puppy?
But how about a really large puppy? and a really mini, mini horse. Could they frolic as friends and mistake each other for the same species?
Oh, my God.
They could. They could. Yeah. So the backyard, you know, my neighbor in the back plays with the neighbor's dog plays with the horse, and they go back and forth on the fence. So I think they could frolic.
My favorite thing is when animals that are different species become friends. I can watch videos like that, you know, and there have been whole movies made about this. But when a horse becomes friends with a turtle, I'm in heaven. You know, when they form an alliance to solve a bank robbery, I'll watch that movie any day. You know, I love it.
Yeah, it's all over the cartoons. It's great.
He said it's for children, Conan, just in case you didn't catch that.
It's like a very innocent thing. You know?
He says you're interested in things that children are interested in. That's
very. I don't.
So you're like a puppy then. You're more like a puppy. Yes,
I am very like
to you.
I am very like a puppy.
Wow.
I've been neutered. We've established all the ways that I'm like a puppy. I'm easily fooled. I need a lot of training that I never got. And I blame my parents. Wow. So you have a mini horse and you have horses and you have, obviously you have dogs, right?
I have one dog. Okay. And two goats. Goats, yes, goats.
What do you have goats for? Does a goat emotionally give back anything?
Well, it's weird. Long story short, I did a project in undergrad with that breed of goat, and I wanted one, and I just got it. It reminded me of my project, and I wanted a goat, and I have it back there now. So
I'm noticing behind you, you have a very impressive stone wall. Like your house, it doesn't look like it matches the rest of the decor on your house. It looks very unique. What is that all? What's going
on? Well, how do you mean? Because on the other wall, there's a giant like claymore sword and a battle.
Oh, I didn't see the sword. My God. Yeah. I know. It just looks like a regular kind of ranch style home, right? That you'd see in Texas. But over your shoulder, I saw this stone wall that's incredibly impressive, and now I see that you have a Conan the Barbarian broadsword in the background. What's with the medieval theme going on there?
I've always loved medieval stuff, and you know, anything with the medieval ages is just super cool for me. So you know, ever since like little video games, whatever, movies, I don't know if you remember the movie Willow.
Yeah,
That's crazy stuff, man.
I didn't see it. I thought it was about the flower, and I didn't. I didn't go see it.
Is this like something you have to watch before at some point? It's hard to describe.
Well, you just did a pretty good job of describing it. I never saw the movie Willow, but I can tell by Gorley's expression, and also just because I know Gorley that he's seen it like 35 times. and probably can recite the whole movie. Is that right, Gorley?
I mean, come on. Yeah, you got Val Kilmer playing Mad Mardigan. You got Laura Dan, and you got Warwick Davis, who played Wicket the Ewok in Return of the Jedi. I mean, it's got it all.
Oh, my God. Wow. You're the worst.
Let's keep going. Let it roll. Come on, baby.
Yeah.
Here we go. Double nickels.
So
that's where it came from. You know,
okay.
It was just a cool movie with swords and shit. And
yeah, there's that.
I understand that you love medieval stuff, but not many people build a medieval stone wall wall of their home. How did you get that done? Who provides that service?
I did it myself.
Oh, cool.
You did it?
Oh.
Yeah. You built that medieval.
I did my stones behind me too. Look at this.
I see that. Yeah, pretty cool.
You did a dry stack veneer.
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake!
Can't.
And I did. Snake
eyes.
Individually, each one you have to put in. So it was.
No,
more work
I mean
than
yours.
I
have to say, Jonathan, yours looks really cool and medieval. And Gorley's looks like he's living in a steakhouse, like a sort of upscale steakhouse. He's got that.
I just want to say that's the nicest thing.
Yeah, it is. It's very nice. It's nice. It's just got that kind of look to it. You know, I think I'll have the prime rib and grilled broccoli, and I want one of those potatoes that has everything on it. So you love the medieval ages. You love, and you said everything about it, which includes lack of adequate health care, a life expectancy that ends around 27 years old.
Horrible plague. Diseases. Yep.
Yeah. Exactly. Nobody hasn't. Everyone's gums are just shooting pus out of them.
But you can still have all those animals.
Yeah. And there's a lot of sick animals that you can work on and just, you know, charge cash.
But you'd have to bleed them and leech them and cut them.
You know what? True.
You know what? Man. Nobody thought was cute in medieval times? A Renaissance fair. They just weren't as popular. People would be like,
it's called fairs back then.
Yeah. People would say, no, it's a Renaissance fair. Isn't this funny and ironic? And people would go, no, not really. And they'd be like, look, I've got a giant turkey leg. Those two are charging at each other with lances. Uh-huh. Oh, look, we're all having ale. Uh-huh. Isn't this ironic? No, it really isn't. It didn't become ironic for a long time. Mm-hmm. I think I'm really onto something here.
It's
a funny idea.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a funny sketch, an ironic Renaissance fair that hipsters go to, but it's during the Renaissance.
Right.
Yeah.
During the medieval times. I think that's a hilarious idea, and I'm writing it down, and I'm sending it to Saturday Night Live, and I'm saying—
Do that, and then there's a follow-up sketch that takes place during the Restoration era where it really lands.
It's the first time. People are like, finally, I get what you're talking about. Keith. Well, Jonathan, we've learned much from you. You've told us that pretty much my anatomy is so similar to a puppy's that though you are a small animal vet, you could still perform a very complicated surgery on me if you had to, if I collapsed on a hike that we were taking together. We've also learned that you have goats. For really no apparent reason, and that you've built a medieval wall in your home yourself because you're a big fan of the movie Willow with Val Kilmer. We know about you now, and trust me, I've heard your story 1,000 times. Do you have a question for me? Is there any way I can be of service to you, Jonathan?
Yes, I do. If you could turn into an animal, what animal would you be and why?
This is like Willow.
Yeah.
Kind of.
Yeah.
I don't,
yeah,
you I see still
the connection
don't know.
There. Awesome. Perfect.
I didn't, again, still, I'm ignorant of the plot of Willow, so I don't know. And I know this shocks you, Gorley, but I don't know what it has to do. But now I know, I guess, it has something to do with humans.
Well, it's kind of like Lady Hawk or Crawl. So,
okay, wow. Man. I am.
Oh, man.
I am as lost as I've ever been. Oh, sure. Okay. Anyway, what animal would I want to turn into? Well, definitely not one that can jump in the sea. I always think that's whenever someone like Aquaman or there's some creature or some person that says, yeah, but I can jump in the ocean and turn into a fish. I think, yeah, but you're so restricted in your movements, right? You have to wait for a crime to be committed underwater. and that just doesn't happen too often. You know, you're basically, people are trying to ask you, can you get under there and get the barnacles off my boat? I don't want to dry dock it. So I'm going to say I want it to be, okay. I'd like to be a grizzly. I'm fascinated by grizzly bears. I would love to be able to turn into a grizzly bear at will. And I'd like to be able to stand up on two legs and rub my back against a giant redwood tree.
You can do that now.
Would you wear a diaper? A diaper? Like, would you put on a diaper and kind of like go like that?
No.
Background music and...
No,
you can also do
some,
that.
Some classical music, and would you do that a lot? Or?
Would that classical theme be Flight of the Bumblebees?
right.
Okay,
right.
Yes, I get it. No, I do not want to be the masturbating bear. And by the way... You're talking about something I can do now. I can scratch my back now. But when you're a grizzly and you rub your back against a giant tree, people see a tree shaking 15 miles away, and they know somewhere a grizzly is satisfying himself.
Is it a sexual thing, or is it just he's got an itch he can't reach?
No, it's an itch on the back. But also, sometimes trees mount, grizzly bears mount a tree from the front, and that's sexual.
And then
people see the tree shaking, and they know, well, okay, it has a slightly different shake. I'd like to be a grizzly because I admire their speed, their strength, their beauty. I'd also like to occasionally just lose it on a camper.
She's gonna rip because a head off.
They forgot to tie their Slim Jim and hoist it up into a tree before they went to their tent. Yeah, I'd love to do that, is just rip open the tent and go, gah! Like I'm doing a practical joke. Yeah.
That's great.
That's another thing you could technically do now.
You know what? You're right.
Just show up at a tent.
Everything so far we've talked about are things I do now. I scratch my back on trees. I also occasionally scratch the front on a tree.
That's how you got that left turn.
I learned my lesson. Don't screw around with cedars. Cedars are tricky trees. I would like to, I think what if the report went up to the Pacific Northwest that a Conan O'Brien has been attacking and molesting campers?
And we have to put it down.
We have to put it down, and they're looking for me, and every now and then they see a tree in the distance shaking, and they're like, and they see a little bit of red pompadour, and they're like, go get it! Wow. Okay. Hey, Jonathan, you've been a delightful guest, and please give the puppies my best, and I know they're always fans, and seriously, thank you so much for calling in. You seem like a very funny guy, and I love that it sounds like you're doing good work, so carry on.
Appreciate it. Thanks for talking to me.
Well, of course. Yeah, it was an absolute delight. Okay, you take care, Jonathan.
Bye, Jonathan.
Thank you. Bye, guys. See you later.
Great. Bye-bye.
It was nice meeting you.
Nice to meet you.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Fan, with Conan O'Brien, Sonam Movsesian, and Matt Gourley. Produced by me, Matt Gourley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs, Joanna Solitaroff, and Jeff Ross at Team Coco, and Colin Anderson at Earwolf. Music by Jimmy Vivino. Supervising producer Aaron Blairt. Associate talent producer Jennifer Samples. Associate producers Sean Doherty and Lisa Berm. Engineered by Will Beckton. Please rate, review, and subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded.
This has been a Team Coco production in association with Stitcher.